Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual. And a reminder that today's podcast is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's SimpliSafe.com/ricochet to get started. Jim, let's start with the good martini. And I would, before we play this clip, urge our listeners to turn down your speakers just a little bit. You'll thank us for it. Hillary Clinton, if you haven't seen this already, was speaking via video message to the Las Vegas Convention of the Labor's International Union of North America. We kind of like them because they were in favor of the Keystone Pipeline. They bucked the Obama administration on that. Ultimately, it didn't sway Obama, but still they're on the right side of that issue. But Hillary Clinton trying to win not only the votes, but the active support of the labor leaders and members. And here's part of her message.
And I will fight back against so-called right to work. Right to work is wrong for workers and wrong for America. Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask? Well, the choice for working families has never been clearer. I need your help to get Donald Trump's record out to everybody. Nobody should be fooled. He proudly declared himself 100% right to work. He even hired a union-busting firm to break up an organizing campaign at his hotel in Las Vegas, where you are right now.
Jim, I don't know if somebody wrote the script in all caps and she just read it like she needed to shout the whole thing with her stilted delivery. I'm sure the last thing somebody told her was to just act natural. So instead, she's offering this really stiff shouting message to these supposed political allies. Meanwhile, at the same time, she's slamming right to work, which simply gives workers the option of whether or not to join a union. So terrible performance by Hillary Clinton. And she's on the wrong side of an issue that most Americans disagree with her on.
Yeah. Now, we should point out, because every moment you say this, Greg, you just accused a woman of yelling. That's sexist, right? You know, now Donald Trump shouted his entire convention speech.
Yes, he did.
I will bring America back to great. You know, it's as if every speech at both conventions, like that, all of a sudden, it's like microphones don't work anymore. I find myself yearning for the Joe Biden approach of whisper, 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 shout, shout, shout. Whisper, whisper, whisper. There's kind of this rhythm to it or something. At least he varies it. Both of these can. Stop. Stop. We're right here. You don't need to yell. We're listening. All right. You know, we not like what we're hearing, but we're listening. The audio system is working fine. There is no need to. So it was not a good performance. But also kind of the sense of why am I not winning by 50 points? Well, why do you think that is, Hillary? Right? Do you really think it's the problem is that this group in front of you hasn't communicated Donald Trump's record? Right? I mean, like, I, as a Never Trump guy, will point out, like, I think people know the bad side of his record by now. I don't think his flaws have escaped the attention of the American people. I think most of the Trump voters know exactly all the downsides. They know it's not that they think he's an exceptionally well-versed in the details of policy. I don't think they think that he's an exceptionally polite, respectful, even taciturn man, right? You know, I think everybody knows exactly who this is. He has very high unfavorables. She has very high unfavorables. So really, Hillary, why aren't you ahead by 50 points? And oh, by the way, no candidate should really imitate John Lovitz's version of Michael Dukakis. I can't believe I'm losing over here. because it just kind of makes you point, look arrogant and out of touch and very unself-aware. So anyway, that's my take on all that. And we will see if Hillary learns to modulate her voice at all.
No, I love that analysis. It's all your fault. It's not my fault I'm losing.
Why are you people so stupid to not recognize my greatness?
It's not because I'm corrupt or a liar or incompetent or anything like that. Anyway, on to the bad martini now. And we talked yesterday about Charlotte and the riots and the ridiculous response by the people doing the violence, knocking over homeless people. One man was shot to death, unfortunately. Thankfully, they have a suspect in custody on that today. The other good news is that for the most part, Thursday night went much better during the state of emergency down in Charlotte, and we'll see how things progress from here. But in terms of the analysis of what's happening in Charlotte, one of the nights of the unrest, I don't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, Glenn Reynolds, also known as Instapundit on Twitter and beyond, he's a professor, I believe, at the University of Tennessee. He was responding to somebody tweeting that protesters had essentially taken over a major thoroughfare, might have even been the interstate downtown, and his simple tweet was, run them down. And for that, Twitter banished Glenn Reynolds from being an active member on Twitter. The backlash was fierce, and we're happy to report today that Instapundit has been restored. But, Jim, we've seen this with other people, people we probably think far less of, like Milo, getting banned and not being real supportive of that either, because free speech is something we like in this country. But apparently Twitter has its own version.
Yeah, and we should point out that USA Today, which publishes Glenn Reynolds' column by him about once a week or so, now has decided they're suspending him for a month over that tweet, with the idea that it could be considered incendiary or incitement, I guess, is the idea there. So my first question I'd love to ask the editorial board of USA Today is who was incited by Glenn's tweet? All right, I mean, no. As far as I read, no one got run down, right? Which, by the way, is a small miracle, you know. The second thing is, because if you all the places you could protest, don't protest on an interstate. I'm always wondering about that first guy out there who has to do that. you got to hope that semi truck has good working brakes and that they actually decide, they're paying attention. They're not looking at their cell phone. They're not thinking about getting to the next rest stop or something like that. But so here's the thing. So who was incited by Glenn Reynolds' comment? Like what damage was it? It's not a nice thing to say. I'm not going to say that, you know, you should run around saying run people down all the time. And Glenn Reynolds issued an apology, and he said, I should have said keep driving. You know, don't aim for people. Don't run, you know, but don't try to don't stop because of the danger to you if there's an angry mob around your car. And let's point out that while this thing was going on that he was tweeting about, we were watching people like stop the trucks, grab the stuff out of the trucks and set it on fire in the middle of the interstate. Right. I mean, you good reason for this concern. I see this as a really unnerving, steadily creeping, fascism is a really harsh term here, but a culture of censorship on Twitter. Twitter never gives a very good explanation of what these bannings are for, what specifically it is. They just really say something threatening. Now, again, I don't think any of the drivers in their car are sitting there looking at Glenn Reynolds on Twitter and saying, oh, he just said run him down. I better do that, right? You know. And in the meantime, of course, Greg, you're not on – you have the Radio America account, but there is no Greg Corumbus account on Twitter, right?
Yeah, @Dateline_DC is where I'm
okay, at. So if you want to tweet horrible things to Greg, that's where to do it. I mean, just yesterday I made the complaints, and I got this just awful, virulent anti-Semitic crap, right? And I'm now here's the thing. I can live in a world where you can tweet anything you want on Twitter. I can live in a world where the moment you do stuff like that, you're out of there, right? Twitter is a private company. They have the right to say, no, you're not allowed to use this this service, this thing we have created. We built the network. We built the system. We decide who's allowed to use it. My attitude is pick one, right? Robert Stacey McCain got banned. There wasn't a great explanation there, but Robert Stacey McCain is no stranger to controversy. Milo of Breitbart, you know what? He's a provocateur. He's a bomb thrower. The idea of them doing something that crossed the boundary, I don't find it unthinkable. I think it'd be nice if Twitter would say, okay, here's what our standards are. This is what happens the first time you break our rules. This is what happens the second time, and like three strikes, you're out or something like that. Give people warning. Don't just suddenly yank their accounts one day. In the case of Glenn Reynolds, I don't know how many listeners have had a chance to watch him or meet him, but I think Glenn Reynolds has like a standing pulse rate of 60 at peak. He's the most even-keeled, calm guy you're ever going to meet. He's not a flying-off-the-handle maniac. And so the idea that when Twitter decides that Glenn Reynolds is too controversial, when Glenn Reynolds is too edgy for them to permit to speak on their platform, any of us can be ditched. And for those of us who find Twitter to be one of the more enjoyable forms of social media, it really raises the question of whether it's still worth it anymore. At some point, is it worth it if at any point somebody at Twitter on their Orwellian Trust and Safety Commission decides you have offended them, you have crossed the line with no warning whatsoever, then they can, you know, block your account, yank it, suspend it, and you can't say anything. this really does seem like this is a platform that was built by people who didn't seem to have much of an ideological agenda. It was very popular. And as it's grown popular, the left saw a chance to shut out voices they don't like. And I'm glad Glenn Reynolds is back. We will see if Twitter learns anything from this, but I'm not counting on it. My suspicion is that Twitter's days are numbered, that it really has been taken over, and we're only going to see more cases like this where more and more speech that is, has an edge to it, that is controversial, increasingly becomes verboten, becomes forbidden. You're not allowed to have that on there. And it becomes a way of, as our friends Guy Benson and Mary Catherine Hamm talk about, it's the end of discussion. It is their effort to remove you from the conversation because they don't like what you're saying.
If only there was a version of Simply Safe for Twitter accounts, because then you could know that Twitter was about to break in and shut you down and something like that. It'd be very helpful to know ahead of time and to be prepared if Twitter were to attack you. That's a good transition to let you know that thousands of people seeking home security are getting ripped off every day. It's not just the people in Charlotte who had their stores looted. You can lock in long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks. There's no way out. It's robbery, and it can cost you thousands. But now, there's a smarter way to protect your home with Simply Safe Home Security. And here's why it's a better choice. Simply Safe offers superior protection with 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch.
There are no annual contracts. Traditional alarm companies can lock customers into three-year contracts with nasty auto-renewal clauses and pages upon pages of fine print.
And as we've told you all week, monitoring for less than half the cost of traditional alarm companies. Professional monitoring with SimpliSafe starts at just $14.99 per month. SimpliSafe does not charge any activation, installation, or hidden fees.
There is a built-in cellular signal. You don't have to pay for a landline phone. Plus, a cellular connection is faster than a landline, and it's safer. Unlike a traditional wired alarm system, a burglar cannot shut down your system by cutting a cable.
Plus, it's user-friendly in its wireless design, and it's very easy in its do-it-yourself installation. SimpliSafe designed a home security system that can be installed by anyone in less than a half an hour without turning a screw.
Finally, there is pricing transparency. All of the costs are explained up front on the website. The customer is in control from start to finish and is never hit with extra hidden fees. Order directly on the SimpliSafe website, and they ship the system right to your doorstep.
Unbeatable protection, a great value, no contracts. What's not to like? SimpliSafe.com/ricochet, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And it's not been a good week for Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. For months, they've been telling us the whole ballgame is getting into the debates. Well, there's three debates, and they're not going to be at the first one, at least. And Gary Johnson this week, not helping himself. Following his "What is Aleppo?" comment a number of days ago, now he is on to more bizarre behavior. The left is more upset with him right now for saying that we don't need to do anything about the alleged threat of global warming because he says in billions of years the sun is going to actually grow and encompass the earth. So global warming is in our future. So what's the point?
He really is taking the long view on that one.
Yes.
So when Keynes said, in the long run, we're all dead.
I like that. But he said, if you look at the amount of money we're looking to spend on global warming, it's in the trillions. And look at the result. I just argued that the result is completely inconsequential to the money we would end up spending. And he's dead right about that. Dead being the key point, because apparently we're all going to be dead when the sun eats the earth in billions of years. So, Jim, he also sat down with Casey Hunt with MSNBC. And, well, this happened.
And do you think if you were able to get on the debate stage that you could pull even with Trump and Clinton in these polls?
I do. And it wouldn't have anything to do with my debate performance either. It would just be that people would recognize that there's another choice and that there would be an examination of me and Bill Weld as who we are and what we've done, and not based on that. I think I could stand up there for the whole debate and not say anything and emerge as a leader.
So those last two sentences, he's sticking his tongue out of his mouth, basically trying to make the point that he, up there next to Clinton and Trump, he would get a ton of exposure, and they look terrible. Nobody wants them to be president, or very few want them to be president. So he would gain greatly in the polls if he were to stand there even with his tongue hanging out of his mouth. Jim, he, of course, is a strong proponent of marijuana legalization. He was a user himself until this campaign started. And watching him do that and even listening to him do that just reminds me of the old guidance counselor on South Park. Drugs are bad, okay?
He mean, do you think everybody who's rooting for him at home is like, because the answer begins fine, okay? Doing fine. Wait, why is your tongue sticking? What are you doing? What are you doing? No! And, because Greg, if you'd said to me, what would you do in a year where the Democrats nominate somebody unacceptable and you really don't like the Republican nominee, who would you vote for? I'd say, oh, yeah, like the Libertarians. I could live very happily in a world run by Libertarians. I love the idea of greatly limited government and everybody being free to live the life the way they want to. And then they nominate this guy. And he just comes across as a goofball half the time. And, you know, I know he was governor of New Mexico. I know, you know, but I don't know if this is an acid flashback or some other, like, but it's just weird. He's a really weird guy. And I mean, people might say, oh, but think of his policies and stuff. Look, his running mate is not that great on the Second Amendment. He has no interest in protecting the religious freedom and people who want to opt out of the birth control. He has no interest in that stuff. I understand that libertarians don't traditionally get along well with social conservatives. But what's interesting is that libertarians, at least this ticket, and some of the gang over at Reason, are not that interested in protecting the religious liberty of social conservatives. So to me, this is like hipster politics, right? This is like, I'm too cool to get associated with you guys. So it's really maddening this year. And I think that libertarians are going to look at this as a golden opportunity. You have two extremely unpopular major party nominees, and they nominate this guy who, like, I understand he's trying to make her laugh, or he's trying to say, look, just by being up there, I'll get a lot of attention. I could, you know, but he just comes across as weird. And like, what are you doing? Why are you talking with your tongue in your mouth? Like, you know, we've had a lot of crazy martinis, Greg, but this really, you know, I you know, this is one of those moments where you start, there's something kind of wrong with him, right? Like, why? Because Casey Hunt of MSNBC is just having the most awkward laugh, and then they cut away from this on Morning Joe, and there's just this kind of stunned silence around the desk. So, look, maybe he got an unfair slam for the, you know, what is Aleppo and stuff like that, but man, you want to talk about just confirming the worst stereotype of yourself? Note to self, don't talk with your tongue out in the middle of a major nationally televised interview and hope, you know, when you're trying to persuade people that you're not a wacko.
I'll try to keep that one in mind. I guess the Libertarian Party this year, remember the moment at the convention with the fat guy in the thong?
Yes!
That kind of crystallizes the whole year for the Libertarians, I think. Hasn't gotten a lot better. Jim, have a good weekend.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And thanks again to Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. It takes only a minute to get started. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Join us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.